The Voice of the Silence by H.P. Blavatsky. Glossary to Part 1. Phrase. For those ignorant of the dangers of the lower Iti. Note. The Pali word Iti is the synonym of the Sanskrit siddhis, or psychic faculties, the abnormal powers in man. There are two kinds of siddhis. One group which embraces the lower, coarse, psychic and mental energies. The other is one which exacts the highest training of spiritual powers, says Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavat. Quote, he who is engaged in the performance of yoga, who has subdued his senses, and who has concentrated his mind in me, Krishna, such yogis, all the siddhis stand ready to serve. End quote. Phrase. The soundless sound. Note. The soundless voice, or the voice of the silence. Literally, perhaps this would read voice in the spiritual sound, as nada is the equivalent word in Sanskrit for the sansara term. Phrase. He has to learn the nature of dharana. Note. Dharana is the intense and perfect concentration of the mind upon some one interior object, accompanied by complete abstraction from everything pertaining to the external universe, or the world of the senses. Phrase. To break the silver thread that binds her to the Master. Note. The Great Master is the term used by Lanus or Chelas to indicate one's higher self. It is the equivalent of Avalokiteshvara and the same as Adi Buddha with the Buddhist occultists, Atman, the Self, the higher self, with the Brahmins, and Christos with the ancient Gnostics. Phrase. When to the world's turmoil thy budding soul lends ear. Note. Soul is used here for the human ego or manas, that which is referred to in our occult septenary division as the human soul, in contradistinction to the spiritual and animal souls. Phrase. When to the roaring voice of the great illusion the soul responds. Note. Maha Maya, great illusion, the objective universe. Phrase. That thy soul is caught in the web of delusion. Note. Delusion of personality, or sakkayaditti. Phrase. Traps to ensnare the ego by the delusion called great illusion. Note. Atavada, the heresy of the belief in soul, or rather in separateness of soul or self, from the one universal, infinite self. Phrase. In order to become the knower of all self. Note. The Tattva-jnani is the knower or discriminator of the principles in nature and in man. The Atma-jnani is the knower of Atman, or the universal oneself. Phrase. Sweet is the rest between the wings of that which is not born nor dies, but is the Aum. Note. Kalahunza, the bird or swan. Says the Nada Bindu Upanishad, translated by the Kumbakonam Theosophical Society, quote, the syllable A is considered to be its, the bird Hunza's, right wing. U, its left. M, its tail, and the Ardha Matra, or half meter, is said to be its head. End quote. Phrase. Throughout eternal ages. Note. Eternity with the Orientals has quite another signification than it has with us. It stands generally for the 100 years or age of Brahma, the duration of a kalpa, or a period of 4,320,000,000 years. Phrase. Bestride the bird of life if thou wouldest know. Note. Says the same Nada Bindu, quote, a yogi who bestrides the honza, thus contemplates an aum, is not affected by karmic influences or crores of sins. End quote. Phrase. Give up thy life if thou wouldest live. Note. Give up the life of physical personality if you would live in spirit. Phrase. Three halls, O conqueror of Mara, will bring thee through three states into the fourth, and thence into the seven worlds, the worlds of rest eternal. Note. The three states of consciousness, which are Jagrat, the waking, Svapna, the dreaming, and Sushupti, the deep sleeping state. These three yogi conditions lead to the fourth, or the Turiya, that beyond the dreamless state, the one above all, a state of high spiritual consciousness. Some Sanskrit mystics locate seven planes of being, the seven spiritual lokas, or worlds within the body of Kalahansa, the swan out of time and space, convertible into the swan in time, when it becomes Brahma instead of Brahma, neuter. Phrase. It is the hall in which you sawest the light in which thou livest and shall die. Note. The phenomenal world of senses and of terrestrial consciousness only. Phrase. In it thy soul will find the blossoms of life, but under every flower a serpent coiled. Note. The astral region. The psychic world of supersensuous perceptions and of deceptive sights, the world of mediums. It is the great astral serpent. No blossom plucked in those regions has ever yet been brought down on earth without its serpent coiled around the stem. It is the world of the great illusion. Phrase. Beyond which stretch the shoreless waters of Akshara. Note, the region of the full spiritual consciousness beyond which there is no longer danger for him who has reached it. Phrase, seek for him who is to give thee birth. Note, the initiate who leads the disciple through the knowledge given to him to his spiritual or second birth is called the father, guru, or master. Phrase, having learnt thine own ajnana, flee from the hall of learning. Note, ajnana is ignorance or non-wisdom, the opposite of knowledge, jnana. Phrase, this light shines from the jewel of the great ensnarer, Mara. Note, Mara is in exoteric religions a demon, an asura, but in esoteric philosophy, it is personified temptation through men's vices, and translated literally means that which kills the soul. It is represented as a king of the Maras, with a crown in which shines a jewel of such luster that it blinds those who look at it. This luster referring, of course, to the fascination exercised by vice upon certain natures. Phrase. Let the fiery power retire into the inmost chamber, the chamber of the heart, and the abode of the world mother. Note. The inner chamber of the heart, called in Sanskrit Brahmapuri, the fiery power, is Kundalini. The power and the world mother are names given to Kundalini, one of the mystic yogi powers. It is Buddhi, considered as an active instead of a passive principle, which it is generally when regarded only as the vehicle or casket of the Supreme Spirit, Atma. It is an electro-spiritual force, a creative power which when aroused into action can easily kill as it can create. Phrase. A walker of the sky who treads the winds above the waves. Note. Keshara, or skywalker or goer. As explained in the sixth adhyaya of that king of mystic works, the Dhyaneshwari, the body of the yogi becomes as one formed of the wind, as a cloud from which limbs have sprouted out, after which he, the yogi, beholds the things beyond the seas and stars. He hears the language of the devas and comprehends it, and perceives what is passing in the mind of the ant. Phrase. This is followed by the chant of Vina. Note. Vina is an Indian stringed instrument like a lute. Phrase. When the six are slain and at the master's feet laid. Note. The six principles. Meaning when the lower personality is destroyed and the inner individuality is merged into and lost in the seventh, or spirit. The disciple is one with Brahma, or the Atman. Phrase. Before the path is entered, thou must destroy the lunar body, cleanse thy mind-soul, and may clean thy heart. Note. The astral form produced by the karmic principle, the kama-rupa, or body of desire. Manasa-rupa. The first refers to the astral or personal self, the second to the individuality or the reincarnating ego, whose consciousness on our plane, or the lower manas, has to be paralyzed. Phrase. Before the mystic power can make thee a god. Note. Kundalini is called the serpentine or annular power on account of its spiral-like working or progress in the body of the ascetic developing the power in himself. It is an electric, fiery, occult, or phohatic power, the great pristine force which underlies all organic and inorganic matter. Phrase. Thou canst not travel on the path before thou hast become the path itself. Note. This path is mentioned in all the mystic works, as Krishna says in the Dhyaneshvari. When this path is beheld, whether one sets out to the bloom of the east or to the chambers of the west, without moving, O holder of the bow, is the traveling in this road. In this path, to whatever place one would go, that place one's own self becomes. Thou art the path, is said to the adept guru, and by the latter to the disciple after initiation. I am the way and the path, says another master. Phrase. 'Tis on such soil that grows the midnight blossom of Buddha. Note. Adipshit. The blossom of Bodhisattva. Phrase. Kill love of life, but if thou slayest tanha. Note. Tanha, the will to live, the fear of death and love for life, that force or energy which causes the rebirths. Phrase. Nor will the mystic sounds of Akashic heights reach the ear. Note. These mystic sounds are the melody heard by the ascetic at the beginning of his cycle of meditation, called by the yogis Anahata Shabda. Phrase. O slayer of thy thoughts, all these again have to be killed beyond reanimation. Note. This means that in the sixth stage of development, which in the occult system is dharana, every sense as an individual faculty has to be, quote, killed or paralyzed on this plane, passing into and merging with the seventh sense, the most spiritual. Phrase. For thou shalt have become the three thyself. Note. Every stage of development in Raja Yoga is symbolized by a geometrical figure. This one is the sacred triangle that precedes Dharana. The triangle is the sign of the high chelas, while another kind of triangle is that of high initiates. It is the symbol I, discoursed upon by Buddha and used by him as a symbol of the embodied form of Tathagata when released from the three methods of prajna. Once the preliminary and lower stages passed, the disciple sees no more the triangle, but the blank, the abbreviation of the blank, the full septenary. Its true form is not given here, as it is almost sure to be pounced upon by some charlatans and desecrated in its use for fraudulent purposes. Phrase: the star which is thy goal burns overhead. Note: the star that burns overhead is the star of initiation, the caste mark of Shaivas, or devotees of the sect of Shiva. The great patron of all yogins, is a black round spot, the symbol of the sun now, perhaps, but that of the star of initiation in occultism in days of old. Phrase: the fire which is the upadi of the flame. Note: the basis, upadi, of the ever unreachable flame, so long as the aesthetic is still in this life. Phrase: and this, O yogi of success, is what men call dhyana, the right precursor of samadhi. Note: dhyana is the last stage before the final on this earth, unless one becomes a full mahatma. As said already, in this state the Raj yogi is yet spiritually conscious of self and the working of the higher principles. One step more and he will be on the plane beyond the seventh, or fourth according to some schools. These, after the practice of pratyahara, a preliminary training in order to control one's mind and thoughts, count dāshena, dhyāna, and samādhi, and embraces the three under the generic name of sanyāma. Samadhi is the state in which the aesthetic loses the consciousness of every individuality, including his own. He becomes the all. Phrase: deliverer of the four modes of truth. Note: the four modes of truth are, in Northern Buddhism, ku, suffering and misery, tu, the assembling of temptations, mu, their destructions, and dao, the path. The five impediments are the knowledge of misery, truth about human frailty, oppressive restraints, and the absolute necessity of separation from all the ties of passion and even of desires. The path of salvation is the last one. Phrase: hast thou not conquered the Mara's king at sea, the portal of assembling? Note: at the portal of the assembling, the king of the Maras, the Mahamara, stands trying to blind the candidate by the radiance of his jewel. Phrase: hast not thou entered Tao, the path that leads to knowledge, the fourth truth? Note: this is the fourth path out of the five paths of rebirth which lead and toss all human beings into perpetual states of sorrow and joy. These paths are but the subdivision of the one, the path followed by karma. Glossary to Part 2, The Two Paths. Phrase: shall not thou, master of thine own mercy, reveal the doctrine of the heart? Note: the two schools of Buddha's doctrine, the esoteric and the exoteric, are respectively called the heart and the eye doctrine. Bodhidharma called them in China, from whence the names reached Tibet, the Tsung Min esoteric and the Kuan Min exoteric schools. It is so named because it is the teaching which emanated from Gautama Buddha's heart, whereas the eye doctrine was the work of his head or brain. The heart doctrine is also called the seal of truth, or the true seal, a symbol found on the heading of almost all esoteric works. Phrase. Six are the virtues that transform the body into the tree of knowledge. Note. The tree of knowledge is a title given by the followers of the Bodhidharma, wisdom religion, to those who have attained the height of mystic knowledge, adepts. Nagarjuna, the founder of the Madhyamika school, was called the dragon tree, dragon standing as a symbol of wisdom and knowledge. The tree is honored because it is under the Bodhi, wisdom tree, that Buddha received his birth and enlightenment, preached his first sermon, and died. Phrase. The truth unveiled about the secret heart. Note, secret heart is the esoteric doctrine. Phrase. To draw it toward the diamond soul. Note, diamond soul, Vajrasattva, a title of the Supreme Buddha, the Lord of all mysteries, called Vajradharma and Adi-Buddha. Phrase. Search the eternal and changeless Sat. Note. Sat is the one eternal and absolute reality and truth, all the rest being illusion. Phrase. For mind is like a mirror. It gathers dust while it reflects. Note. From Shin Tseng's doctrine, who teaches that the human mind is like a mirror which attracts and reflects every atom of dust, and has to be, like that mirror, watched over and dusted every day. Shin Tseng was the sixth patriarch of North China who taught the esoteric doctrine of Bodhidharma. Phrase. Seek in the impersonal for the eternal man. Note. The reincarnating ego is called by northern Buddhists the true man, who becomes in union with his higher self, a Buddha. Buddha means enlightened. Phrase. The doctrine of the I is for the crowd. Note. The exoteric Buddhism of the masses. Phrase. They who in humbleness have garned, lo, confess, thus I have heard. Note. The usual formula that precedes the Buddhist scriptures, meaning that that which follows is what has been recorded by direct oral tradition from Buddha and Arhats. Phrase. To disavow thy father and call him householder. Note. Rattapala, the great Arhat, thus addresses his father in the legend called Rattapala Sutra Sane. But as all such legends are allegorical, that is, Rattapala's father has a mansion with seven doors, hence the reproof to those who would accept them literally. Phrase. Unite thee to thy silent self. Note. The higher self, the seventh principle. Phrase. O victim of thy shadows. Note. Our physical bodies are called shadows in the mystic schools. Phrase. He forsook the sweet but selfish rest of quiet wilds. Note. A hermit who retires to the jungle and lives in the forest when becoming a yogi. Phrase. After July had entered the nirvana. Note. July, the Chinese name for Tathagata, a title applied to every Buddha. Phrase. And held discourses in the cities to devas, men, and gods. Note. All the northern and southern traditions agree in showing Buddha quitting his solitude as soon as he had resolved the problem of life, that is, received the inner enlightenment and teaching mankind publicly. Phrase. Fix thy soul's gaze upon the star whose ray thou art. Note. Every spiritual ego is a ray of a planetary spirit according to esoteric teaching. Phrase. Thy shadows live and vanish. Note. Personalities, or physical bodies called shadows, are evanescent. Phrase. That in thee which knows for it is knowledge. Note. Mind, manas, the thinking principle or ego in man, is referred to knowledge itself, because the human egos are called manasaputras, the sons of universal mind. Phrase. The Shangna robe, 'tis true, can purchase light eternal. Note. The Shangna robe, from Shangna Veshu, of Rajagirha, the third great arhat, or patriot, as the Orientalists call the hierarchy of the 33 arhats who spread Buddhism. Shangna robe means, metaphorically, the acquirement of wisdom which, with the nirvana of destruction, of personality, is entered. Literally, the initiation robe of the neophytes. Etkin states that this grass cloth, in quotes, was brought to China from Tibet in the Tang Dynasty. When an arhan is born, this plant is found growing in a clean spot, says the Chinese, as also the Tibetan legend. Phrase. To live to benefit mankind is the first step. To practice the six glorious virtues is the second. Note. To practice the Paramita path means to become a yogi with a view of becoming an ascetic. Phrase. For if the secret path is unattainable this day, it is within thy reach tomorrow. Note. Tomorrow means the following rebirth or reincarnation. Phrase. In the great journey. Note. Great journey, or the whole complete cycle of existences, in one round. Phrase. Both are now servants to Nyingma. Note. Nyingma, the sun in Tibetan astrology, Mi'kmaq or Mars is symbolized by an eye, and Shugpa or Mercury by a hand. Phrase. That he who, cleaving to existence, still lays his patience and submission to the law, becomes Shrotapati in this birth. Note. Shrotapati, or he who enters in the stream of nirvana, unless he reaches the goal owing to some exceptional reasons, can rarely attain nirvana in one birth. Usually a chela is said to begin the ascending effort in one life and end or reach it only in his seventh succeeding birth. Phrase. That way begin and ends outside of self. Note. Meaning the personal lower self. Phrase. The birthplace of the sacred rivers is the sacred land. Note. Tirthakas are the Brahmanical sectarians beyond the Himalayas called infidels by the Buddhists in the sacred land, Tibet, and vice versa. Phrase. Arahants and sages of the boundless vision are rare. Note. Boundless vision, or psychic, superhuman sight. An arahant is credited with seeing and knowing all at a distance as well as on the spot. Phrase. No warrior volunteering in the fierce strife between the living and the dead. Note. The living is the immortal higher ego, and the dead the lower personal ego. Phrase. To don the miseries of secret life is called thrice honored. Note. The secret life is the life of a Niramanakaya. Phrase. The one becomes the two, the open and the secret. Note. The open and the secret path, or the one taught to the layman, the exoteric and the generally accepted, and the other the secret path, the nature of which is explained at initiation. Phrase. The secret path leads the arhant to mental woe unspeakable, woe for the living dead. Note. Men ignorant of the esoteric truths and wisdom are called the living dead. Phrase. He who becomes Pratyeka Buddha makes his obeisance but to his self. Note. Pratyeka Buddhas are those bodhisattvas who strive after and often reach the Dharmakaya robe after a series of lives, caring nothing for the woes of mankind or to help it, but only for their own bliss. They enter nirvana and disappear from the sight and the hearts of men. In Northern Buddhism, a Pratyeka Buddha is a synonym of spiritual selfishness. Glossary to Part 3, The Seven Portals. Phrase, Upadhyaya, the choice is made, I search for wisdom. Note, Upadhyaya is a spiritual preceptor, a guru. The northern Buddhists choose these generally among the Naljor, saintly men, learned in Gotrabhugyana and Gyani Darshana Shuddhi, teachers of the secret wisdom. Phrase, now hast thou rent the veil before the secret path and taught the greater jhana. Note, jhana means vehicle. Thus Mahayana is the great vehicle, and Hinayana the lesser vehicle, the names for the two schools of religious and philosophical learning in northern Buddhism. Phrase, 'tis well, Shravaka. Note, Shravaka means a listener, or student who attends to the religious instructions, from the root shru. When from theory they go into practice or performance of asceticism, they become shramanas, exercises from shrama, action. Phrase, the sumptain of I doctrine, fourfold dhyana, or thread thy way through paramitas. Note, sumptain, Tibetan, the same as the Sanskrit dhyana, or the state of meditation, of which there are 4 degrees. Paramitas, the 6 transcendental virtues, for the priests there are 10. Phrase, once thou hast passed the gate, Srotapati. Note, Srotapati literally means he who has entered the stream, that is, the stream that leads to Nirvanic Ocean. This name indicates the first path. The name of the second path is the path of Sakridagaman, he who will receive birth only once more. The third is called Anagaman, he who will be reincarnated no more, unless he so desires in order to help mankind. The fourth path is known as that of Rahat or Arhat. This is the highest. An arhat sees nirvana during his life. For him it is no post-mortem state, but samadhi, during which he experiences all nirvanic bliss. Phrase, these portals lead the aspirant across the waters and to the other shore. Note, arrival at the shore is with the northern Buddhists synonymous with reaching nirvana, through the exercise of the 6 and the 10 paramitas, or virtues. Phrase, of teachers there are many, the master soul is one. Note, the master soul is Alaya, the universal soul or Atman, each man having a ray of it in him and being supposed to be able to identify himself with and to merge himself into it. Phrase, and thus destroy the path between the two, antahkarana. Note, antahkarana is the lower manas, the path of communication or communion between the personality and the higher manas or human soul. At death, it is destroyed as a path or medium of communication, and its remains survive in a form as the kama rupa, the shell. Phrase, the sacred river's roaring voice whereby all nature's sounds are echoed back. Note. The northern Buddhists, and all Chinamen in fact, find in the deep roar of some of the great and sacred rivers the keynote of nature, hence the simile. It is a well-known fact in physical science as well as in occultism that the aggregate sound of nature, such as heard in the roar of great rivers, the noise produced by the waving tops of trees in large forests, or that of a city heard at a distance, is a definite single tone of quiet and appreciable pitch. This is shown by physicists and musicians. Thus Professor Rice, of Chinese music, shows that the Chinese recognized the fact thousands of years ago by saying that the waters of the Huang Ho rushing by intoned the Kung, called the Great Tone in Chinese music. And he showed this tone corresponding with the F, considered by modern physicists to be the actual tonic of nature. Professor B. Silliman mentions it too in his Principles of Physics, saying that this tone is held to be the middle F of the piano, which may, therefore, be considered the keynote of nature. Phrase. Thus do the brothers of the shadow, the murderers of their souls, the dread Dudukpa clan. Note. The Bones or Dukpas, the sect of the Red Caps, are regarded as the most versed in sorcery. They inhabit Western and Little Tibet and Bhutan. They are all tantricus. It is quite ridiculous to find Orientalists who have visited the borderlands of Tibet, such as Schlagenbeit and others, confusing the rites and disgusting practices of these with the religious beliefs of the Eastern Lamas, the Yellow Caps, and their Naljors or Holy Men. Phrase. Close not thine eyes, nor lose thy sight of Dorji. Note. Dorji is the Sanskrit Vajra, a weapon or instrument in the hands of some gods, the Tibetan Drekshi, the devas who protect men, and is regarded as having the same occult power of repelling evil influences by purifying the air as ozone in chemistry. It is also a mudra, a gesture or posture used in sitting for meditation. It is, in short, a symbol of power over invisible evil influences, whether as a posture or a talisman. The Bon or Dukpas, however, having appropriated the symbol, misuse it for purposes of black magic. With the Yellow Caps, or Galukpas, it is a symbol of power, as the cross is with the Christians, while it is in no way more superstitious. With the Dukpas, it is like the double triangle reversed, the sign of sorcery. Phrase. Mara's arrows ever smite the man who has not reached viraga. Note. Viraga is that feeling of absolute indifference to the objective universe, to pleasure and to pain. Disgust does not express its meaning, yet is akin to it. Phrase. The highway of sensations, the rude arousers of Ahankara. Note. Ahankara is the I, or feeling of one's personality, the I-am-ness. Phrase. He who has followed in the footsteps of his predecessors. Note. One who walks in the steps of his predecessors, or those who came before him, in the true meaning of the name Tathagata. Phrase. At one with it thou art invincible. In separation thou becomest the playground of Sonvritti. Note. Sonvritti is that one of the two truths which demonstrates the elusive character or emptiness of all things. It is relative truth in this case. The Mahayana school teaches the difference between the two truths. Paramartha Satya and Sonvritti Satya, Satya meaning truth. This is the bone of contention between the Madhyamikas and the Yogacharyas, the former denying and the latter affirming that every object exists owing to a previous cause or by a concatenation. The Madhyamikas are the great nihilists and deniers, for whom everything is parikalpita, an illusion and an error in the world of thought and the subjective, as much as in the objective universe. The Yogacharyas are the great spiritualists. Sonvriti, therefore, as only relative truth, is the origin of all illusion. Phrase. Those ill-natured sprites, the jealous Lamayin in endless space. Lamayin are elementals and evil spirits adverse to men and their enemies. Phrase. Ere thou canst settle in Dhyan Marga and call it thine. Note. Dhyan Marga is the path of Dhyana, literally, or the path of pure knowledge, of Paramartha, or Svasonvedana, the self-evident or self-analyzing reflection. Phrase. Remember, thou that fightest for man's liberation, each failure is a success. Note. This is an allusion to a well-known belief in the East, as in the West too, for the matter of that, that every additional Buddha or saint is a new soldier in the army of those who work for the liberation or salvation of mankind. In northern Buddhist countries, where the doctrine of Nyiramanakayas, those bodhisattvas who renounce well-earned nirvana or the Dharmakaya vesture, both of which shut them out forever from the world of men, in order to invisibly assist mankind and lead it finally to parinirvana, is taught every new bodhisattva or initiated great adept is called the liberator of mankind. Phrase. But when the hour has struck, they blossom forth. Note. A reference to human passions and sins which are slaughtered during the trials of the novitiate and serve as well-fertilized soil in which holy germs or seeds of transcendental virtues may germinate. Pre-existing or innate virtues, talents, or gifts are regarded as having been acquired in a previous birth. Genius is without exception a talent or aptitude brought from another birth. Phrase. Thou hast now reached the Tiksha state. Note. The Tiksha is the fifth state of Raja Yoga, one of supreme indifference, submission if necessary, to what is called pleasures and pains for all, but deriving neither pleasure nor pain from such submission. In short, the becoming physically, mentally, and morally indifferent and insensible to either pleasure or pain. Phrase. Once that a Swani has crossed the seventh path. Note. Swani is one who practices Sowan, the first path in Dhyan, Asrotapati. Phrase. A master has risen, a master of the day. Note. Day means here a whole manvantara, a period of incalculable duration. Phrase. Wouldst thou dam the waters born of Sumeru? Note. Mount Meru, the sacred mountain of the gods. Phrase. Then must thou shed the light acquired, like to the bodhisattva's twain, upon the span of all three worlds. Note. In northern Buddhist symbology, Amitabha, or boundless space, Parabrahma, is said to have in his paradise two bodhisattvas, Quan Shi Yin and Tashishi, who ever radiate light over the three worlds where they live, including our own, in order to help with this light of knowledge in the instruction of yogis, who will in their turn save men. Their exalted position in Amitabha's realm is due to deeds of mercy performed by the two as such yogis when on earth, says the allegory. The three worlds are the three planes of being, the terrestrial, astral, and the spiritual. Phrase. With countless other stones which form the guardian wall. Note. The guardian wall, or the wall of protection. It is taught that the accumulated efforts of long generations of yogis, saints, and adepts, especially of the Nirmanakayas, have created, so to say, a wall of protection around mankind, which wall shields mankind invisibly from still worse evils. Phrase. There, Kalesha is destroyed forever, Tanha's roots torn out. Kalesha is the love of pleasure or of worldly enjoyment, evil or good. Tanha is the will to live, that which causes rebirth. Phrase. The more thou wilt become compassion absolute. Note. This compassion must not be regarded in the same light as God, the divine love of the theists. Compassion stands here as an abstract, impersonal law whose nature, being absolute harmony, is thrown into confusion by discord, suffering, and sin. Phrase. Nirvana Dharma is entered not by all the Buddhas. Note. In the northern Buddhist phraseology, all the great arhats, adepts, and saints are called Buddhas. Phrase. Yea, on the Arya path thou art no more, Srotapati, thou art a bodhisattva. Note. A bodhisattva is, in the hierarchy, less than a perfect Buddha. End quotes. In the exoteric parlance, these two are very much confused. Yet the innate and right popular perception, owing to that self-sacrifice, has placed a bodhisattva higher in its reverence than a Buddha. Phrase. And greater still is a Nirmanakaya, the Buddha of compassion. Note. This same popular reverence calls Buddhas of compassion those bodhisattvas who, having reached the rank of an arhat, that is, having completed the fourth or seventh path, refuse to pass into their nirvanic state or don the Dharmakaya robe and cross to the other shore, as it would then become beyond their power to assist men even so little as karma permits. They prefer to remain invisibly, in spirit, so to speak, in the world, and contribute towards man's salvation by influencing them to follow the good law, that is, lead them on the path of righteousness. It is part of the exoteric northern Buddhism to honor all such characters as saints, and to offer even prayers to them, as the Greeks and the Catholics do to their saints and patrons. On the other hand, the esoteric teachings countenance no such thing. There is a great difference between the two teachings. The exoteric layman hardly knows the real meaning of the word Nirmanakaya. Hence the confusion and inadequate explanations of the Orientalists. For example, Schlagenweit believes that Nirmanakaya body means the physical form assumed by the Buddhas when they incarnate on earth, the least sublime of the earthly encumbrances, and he proceeds to give an entirely false view on the subject. The real teaching is, however, this. The three Buddhic bodies or forms are styled 1. Nirmanakaya, 2. Sambhogakaya, and 3. Dharmakaya. The first is that ethereal form which one would assume when leaving his physical. He would appear in his astral body, having in addition all the knowledge of an adept. The bodhisattva develops it in himself as he proceeds on the path. Having reached the goal and refused its fruition, he remains on earth as an adept. And when he dies, instead of going into nirvana, He remains in that glorious body he has woven for himself, invisible to uninitiated mankind, to watch over and protect it. Sambhogakaya is the same, but with the additional luster of three perfections, one of which is entire obliteration of all earthly concerns. The Dharmakaya body is that of a complete Buddha, that is, no body at all, but an ideal breath, consciousness merged in the universal consciousness, or soul devoid of every attribute. Once a Dharmakaya, an adept, or Buddha leaves behind every possible relationship with or thought for this earth. Thus, to be enabled to help humanity, an adept who has won the right to nirvana renounces the Dharmakaya body in mystic parlance, keeps of the Sambhogakaya only the great and complete knowledge, and remains in his Nirmanakaya body. The esoteric school teaches the Gautama Buddha with several of his arhats is such a Nirmanakaya, higher than whom, on account of the great renunciation and sacrifice to mankind, there is none known. Phrase. O joy unto thee, O men of Nyalwa! Note. Nyalwa is our earth, pertinently called hell, and the greatest of all hells by the esoteric school. The esoteric doctrine knows of no hell or place of punishment other than on a man-bearing planet or earth. Avicii is a state and not a locality. Phrase. A new arhan is born. Note. Meaning that a new and additional savior of mankind is born, who will lead men to final nirvana, that is, after the end of the life cycle. Phrase. Peace to all beings. Note. This is one of the variations of the formula that invariably follows every Trista's invocation or instruction. Peace to all beings, blessings on all that lives.